This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a very special episode of the Catholic Talk Show. Today, we're going to be interviewing our first wife interview on the show.
That's right. We're talking with Jen Delacrosse, Ryan's wife, and we're going to talk about her struggle with cancer and how spirituality and how prayer has fortified her through this really hard time.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about the better half of the Delacrosse couple.
Thanks a lot for that, Father Mac. Appreciate that, those kind words. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
We're happy you're here, too.
She never watches it, but she'll come and be on it. So she has enough of me at home. So she just, you know.
I always think that's hilarious that she, and like notoriously says, I don't watch your show.
It's not true. I mean, it is true. I listen.
Oh,
I don't watch.
Okay.
But I listen while I'm folding laundry. So it's like a half listen. Oh, I admit that. Yeah. I admit that.
We have lots of laundry too.
I wouldn't listen either.
Yeah. So I, you know, when we were talking about doing this show, I personally have witnessed Jen's strength. Also, a lot of suffering and questioning and growth ultimately. And then also a lot of how you are able to minister to others in a new way. And I just thought it'd be a really good thing for that side of it. And the other side is that everybody's been asking and praying for Jen, and we really appreciate that. It's been a great source of strength for our family, source of grace in our lives. And we just felt like this would be a good episode to do to honor her and her journey and also honor you guys as people who've been praying for us, good friends.
So for the people who are unaware, Jen, what is the diagnosis? What happened?
So last summer, you know, we were up in Montana, and I just had a headache every day. So when I came home and wasn't in high elevation, and I woke up with a headache then, it just seemed kind of odd. And so Ryan said, why don't we go get it checked out? It's kind of weird. And we did, and 4th of July, I had a CT scan, and the guy's like, Jen, you need to go downtown. You have a mass. So obviously, anytime you have a mass or you have any potential of the C word, you know, cancer can be scary. And so, you know, we went down there, and lo and behold, yes, I have glioblastoma. So it is a form of a brain tumor. It can and cannot be cancerous. Just depends. So they do the pathology. So I've had it removed. And now I'm just in treatment, and you know, I think my faith has definitely played a large part in just keeping a positive attitude and being able to share, you know, with other people. And you know, my background, for those of you who might not know, like, you know, I was an Army nurse. I'm retired now, and then I do have my master's in psychology, so I'm very interested in the wellness of people. So I have a lot of tools. And you know, every time you go to the hospital, I don't know if you guys experience this, but they're always asking if you're depressed or anxious. And I just told my doctor, well, what about angry? Or there's some other emotions that we might want to talk about here versus just, you know, depression or anxiety. But I think in the beginning, there was definitely just that fearfulness of the unknown, that when you get that diagnosis to say, you know, how serious is this? Is it removable? Is it treatable? So you kind of have to ask God to kind of slow your heart and your mind down so that you can wait for some of the diagnosis to kind of land and then kind of approach it in a different way.
You know, Ryan, I was talking to you throughout all of that, and you said that Father Rich told you something that was really important during that, which was not to project.
You know,
what does that mean?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of things that happen when there's like a trauma, which what I would consider, you know, obviously it's not a physical trauma to me, But to me, it was just like, my life is completely changed right now. I don't know what's going to happen. And then you start projecting, what if this were to happen? What if this were to happen? I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. You know, so you kind of go through all these things. And, you know, I called Father Pagano and I'm just like, man, I'm just not doing well. I'm thinking about this, thinking about that. He says, Ryan, the worst thing you can do in this situation is to project an outcome, because what happens is, in doing mm-hmm. so, your mind is taking your heart to places that God hasn't prepared for you. That he's preparing you now in the situation that you're in, and to walk with him through the emotions that you're having and the doubt that you're having, and also the faithfulness that mm-hmm. you're experiencing too, you know. And that was a really good advice to me. Jim was very good at it. You know, and
well, what were you experiencing, Jen? Like, you know, I know that you said you had all kinds of things, you know, anger and this and that. Like, I literally can't imagine hearing that news. I mean, you're a mother of seven children, the things that had to be going through your heart and your mind.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say, and part of it is, you know, when I am a nurse and I worked in neurology, I know that my brain surgery could have radically changed my personality, what I could and couldn't do. So I definitely was projecting a future of the what ifs, and I had to just calm my heart down and be like, okay, you know, one day at a time, and I can't project that that's what's going to happen to me. And even if it does, I tend to kind of go down this road like, okay, if this happens, you know, what can I possibly do about it? And how can God still use my gifts and talents in different ways? So I have to say, like, just being faithful. And I mean, I think a couple of years ago for Lent, I decided to do the Litany of Trust and the Surrender Novena. I'm just going to say, like, you might just prepare yourself for that if this is something you ever want to emulate, because it's pretty rough. I mean, and even in the beginning, I was like, you know, Lord, I just kind of, maybe I should start with, can you just help me mean it when I say it? Because there are hard things, like pick other people over me, you know, love other people, you know, it's big stuff that God calls us to in that next level when he's like, what is that Litany of Trust? And I think, and I've read a couple different things, and I listened to a lot of podcasts on suffering because I am looking for tools and I am looking for new ways to approach where I am. And some of the really good ones are, you know, what is your view of God? And, you know, there's a lot of really good stuff out there, you know, and if you're interested, I can have Ryan put some of it on the show. But I'll be honest, it's like you really do have to believe that God is loving and that he loves you. And I read, what is it? Is it Jeremiah 29:11? Mm-hmm. I kept it backwards, yeah. But that proverb, I read it all the time. It's
29:11.
29:11. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like knowing that God has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. I had that poster in my office and I read it every day. And slowly, it's one thing to read it and it's another to internalize it because you really believe it. So I just think over time of the last couple of years, God has been working on my heart to help me to believe it. So I do believe God is loving. I do believe that our suffering has a purpose. And I just think it's even more interesting that with Easter and seeing the resurrection, I've had just the luxury of sometimes just sitting there with God. And I remember one time we were sitting there at a church and the altar had the crucifixion. And I thought, there is no way the apostles were sitting here going, "Woo, this is a win. All right. No, this is great." Like they were probably terrified. And I just realized that in our suffering, I think we get caught up in the crucifixion and we have to wait for the resurrection. That whatever God's using that suffering for in your life, you have to kind of wait for it, but it's there. And I feel like that's kind of where he has me right now. He's been talking to me. I even now I've moved to Florida. There's no perpetual adoration, And I was telling him the other day, I said, I need to find Perpetual Adoration. I need to come talk to you. I mean, he's like a buddy. I was telling my kids, he's like a friend. He invites you to dinner on Sunday. Come to Sunday and eat dinner. You know, but you can come every day of the week if you want. There's always room at the table with our Lord. You can go to Mass every day. And I thought, you know, wow, okay, I can do this. So I texted a friend of mine, new to Jacksonville. I'm like, where's Perpetual Adoration? That's not maybe an hour away. And I found a church, and I'm not even kidding. It's 5 minutes from where my sons go to basketball practice. So now I have a new place to sit for an hour when I'm in a different part of Jacksonville waiting for my children to be done with practice. So I guess what I'm saying is I just continue to the surrender prayer. I cannot emphasize enough. And I mean, I read all 9 days every day. So I don't just, you know, a novena is one day for 9 days. I know. And I really am a rule follower, so it kind of shocks me that I do this, but every day matters to me. Every day matters to me. And I'm kind of on day five. So day five speaks to me the most right now, which is, if I take you down a path that's unexpected, I'm like, okay, Lord, that's funny. You take me down a path that's unexpected, I will prepare you. You know, I will carry you in my arms. And that's another thing about that prayer is there's so many mothering analogies, and I can completely relate to of just let me carry you. Let me put you on the other side of the bank. Let me, you know, give this to me. And it's hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm definitely not good at it, but I just retry every time, every day. Just put it back at the foot of the cross. Say, Jesus, I know you've got this. I mean, I tease people all the time because, I mean, the biggest joke is, how can Ryan possibly raise our 7 children without me? Right? Does God have a sense of humor or what?
It's not
huh?
a joke. It's true.
Ryan, though, I mean, I'm watching you, man. I'm seeing like the extra work you're putting in. I'm just really so inspired and so proud of That's you as true. A man and as a brother.
Yes.
For yep. how you've always been a very involved father, but the way that you've stepped up now and just giving of yourself to the point of emptiness, man, it's inspiring, and then I look at it, and I just pray for you, and I just love you as a brother, and I'm so proud of you for the man that you are. That's why, I've always wanted, you know, that's why I have so much respect for you.
Amen. Yes. And I mean, I'm obviously joking, and people who know Ryan, you know,
it's not a joke though; it's true.
I mean, organizationally, Ryan would need some help, right? But not in loving our children or being present to them. That's not what it is. But, you know, and I always tease them. I said, you know, if God has a plan, which, you know, even if that should be, you know, that I pass, you know, I just know he'll be taken care of. I know that God would provide for him and our kids, and I can rest in that now. And I don't see that as in my immediate future because I have this new little baby. I wear this little mechanical baby, and it's on my head now. You know,
what did you name the baby?
It's Baby Ocho.
Baby Ocho.
My baby. Mechanical baby. And I say that only because it needs batteries. It needs, I have to like be attentive to it like I used to be attentive to small children.
Yes. What type of device is that?
So this is called an Optune. And the Optune is right now specifically used for glioblastoma. So it's part of the treatment care for, I mean, you do have to qualify and be eligible. So it's not for every type of brain cancer or even for every glioblastoma, you have to kind of be eligible for it. But luckily, you know, again, my tumor was in the perfect place to be operated, and then I can use this treatment. And my doctor told me, you know, people have worn this for 4, 5, 10 plus years. So, you know, a lot of it too, even in that, like, is inconvenient and sometimes annoying. It can be like on a rainy day, like I can't wear it in the rain. So then I'm like, oh, I guess I'll stay home. Or, you know, I have to kind of make decisions on because I have to meet a certain amount of time wearing it a month to keep it. And it's expensive for my insurance company. But I just think to myself, you know, like, okay, like gratitude, right? Like I think really the lessons I've learned are crazy because, you know, I felt God's presence when I was 7. When I talk to people about your life journey, I don't would say everybody is very unique, but I definitely haven't quite yet met someone who's kind of had my journey, but not shocking. But at 7 years old, I, you know, first confession, first communion, I was like, the Lord is it. I got it. I'm yours, Lord. I'm going to follow you right now. And I've tried to do that, you know, since I was 7 years old. So, in doing that, you know, in trying to give up other things or looking at how he's called me in different ways, I do think, though, that I had a strong spirit of self-reliance. And I do think that that is what God was trying to break through. And when God does hard things for me, I call them heavenly spankings, because they come straight from his hand, and he is whacking me hard. And I've had him a couple times in my life.
Swacking.
So he is whacking away, and I'm like, okay, get it. And I don't. But, I mean, he's trying to redirect my attention or help me reprioritize, and I've kind of gotten off track. And in a way, I almost feel like in this suffering, he's holding me tighter. Like, he's pulling me back to him. He's saying, Jen, you're a little off track. You know, like, I tend to be kind of stuck in my head a lot. And I would have to say, the last 20 years, especially my children, my husband, our family life, he's trying to move me out of my head and into my heart. You know, that life is about relationship and about loving people and loving your neighbors and your friends. And the more we do that, the more we are a witness and we bring people closer to God. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at with that right now.
Yeah. That's and amazing. You're on chemo too, right?
I do. Yeah.
How are you doing with that?
I had a bad day. It happens occasionally. I learned from it, though. You know, some things I just maybe could have been more careful with. But right now it's 5 days a month. That's very manageable. Mm-hmm. It's a pill. I mean, I really can't complain. I mean, even my cancer journey has not been too painful. And I, you know, then that's, and I, as someone who's watched a lot of people who've been in, you know, chronic pain and things like that, I feel very blessed that this journey for me has not been one of pain, inconvenience, annoying at times, yes, but I'm not in a lot of pain. And I'm really grateful.
And you recently got you had one of your scans recently, and, mm-hmm. and Ryan called me, I called you, and you're like, and you said, like, man, it's just, you're so grateful that you had, your last scan was really good news.
It was.
You know?
Yes.
So that your treatment plan.
No new growth in the tumor. That Optune is keeping the cells that are cancerous at bay. And we're looking for some alternative immunity boosting medicines. She was in a vaccine trial. But yeah, just kind of going back to her journey and, you know, I can imagine how you witness people coming closer to God through circumstances as being a priest and bringing them, that it's a great privilege to see, I'm sure. But with Jen, I remember, you know, we had the support of our friends in Houston, immense amount of support. Laundry, food, everything. And it was kind of a way for, you know, Jen to rest, to pray, for me to accompany her. And I just remember a lot of mornings, every morning she would be out in the back porch and she'd be crying or, you know, praying and just kind of, you know, knew that she was going through something with God, and then just understanding that and accompanying her through that and praying the surrender prayer and just kind of accompanying her with her journey was a big gift for me to see, because although she is a very faithful Catholic, you know, our faith is tested at times in a lot of different ways, and to see her strength and, you know, embracing this trial in prayer, and understanding what God was trying to say to her. It was a beautiful thing, for our marriage. It was a beautiful thing for her, for our children, for other people, you know, like just the witness that she provided to others that, you know, she was unaware of in most cases. But just to be a part of that, it's a great privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super inspired. I feel like I'm on holy ground just being at this table right now. I look down, I'm like, my hands are like kind of folded in prayer here without even like thinking about it. I mean, just hearing your faith as you're going through this is really incredible, really incredible.
It's a gift.
So how are the children? How did you break it to them? How are they handling it? How do they understand it? You know, because I mean, I know your kids, they're all so different in age and personality. I'm sure they all take it differently, but how's that experience explaining it to the children, letting them know what to expect and guiding them? Because I'm, you know, seeing their mom sick is a thing for them too. How's that going?
Well, I mean, we've definitely experienced a life altering circumstances. So, you know, gosh, for a couple months, it's the hospital, it's this, it's that, it's radiation, it's chemo, it's, you know, like the home life completely changed, right? Yeah. It was, you know, not a lot of attention was paid to the children as much as we typically give them. And so the grace of God, again, through prayer and just knowing that God can take care of all of this, seeing them, you know, come to her in love and understanding. You have different ways that all different kids react, you know, a lot of questions, you know, about Jen and, you know, and I remember, what was it? Somebody said something to one of the kids. I think it was like, I don't know, you were going to die or something. I can't remember what it was, but Ava came to me. She's like, how come you didn't tell me mom's going to die? Well, I can't remember what it was. It was something like that. And I'm like, who told you this?
Oh, no.
You
know?
It was like somebody told her. And I'm like, no. We're not in this. So, you know, a couple of conversations like that. But the day-to-day is she's got to wear this for 70% of the time. And so we're putting her head on at the house. The kids are involved in that. The younger kids are, you know, obviously take a different approach.
They just rub my head.
They just rub your head. But I think we've started settling into our life a little more. It's like this is kind of the new normal. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, soon pursuing alternative medicines that have worked for others that could potentially work for her, in lieu of the fact that we have these frequencies that are going on in her head that aren't, you know, going into the immunity system. They're more of, you know, things that can keep it at bay.
The Optune machine.
Right, right. And so now we're going to meet with the doctors here in a few weeks. And then, you know, if the scan is good, which I think it will be, I haven't noticed any changes in her behavior.
You're smiling while you're smiling. is that not true, Jen?
No, Rice. Rice is the one who's telling the doctor. He's like, anxiety, depression. How about he just gets a little more colorful? What about this?
I'm like, so is it a symptom if she gets angry at me? She shouldn't be, right?
Is it a symptom that she doesn't want me to go golfing tomorrow?
Is there a pill for that? I know we got some pills and stuff, you know. So honestly, like, and another reason why we're having this show is like the prayers of everybody have been humbling.
I am really grateful, you guys, for all of you. And one of our sons, Vincent, he was having a moment one night, and he goes, "Mom," he's like, I'm so scared for you." And I said, "Vincent, Dad has all his subscribers praying for me. I have like tens of thousands of people praying for me." I said, "This is going to end well. You'll see." So it was really comforting, I think, when I can, you know, kind of say that to him. And I do. I mean, I experience people who might meet me for the first time. And they're like, I wake up and I pray for you and I think about you all day and I pray for you before I go to bed. Some of these people are people I know. And then some of them, I do not know them well. And so maybe I do think, obviously, when you meet someone who has seven kids and you know that how hard that is, you're like, everyone would want, you know, wellness for them and for healing and stuff. So it's been a good journey with that. Like, just how many people are just so generous with their time and prayers. And it's been very humbling.
Yeah. We had the opportunity to go to Lourdes together and to go and do the bathing and the drinking of the water. Mm-hmm. That was a really
was awesome.
That was a powerful moment. You know, they said that we weren't allowed to film it, but I still managed to get
a picture in for the kids. He got a beautiful picture of her.
Sorry, the staff at Our Lady of Lourdes. I hope you understand. You know.
They don't because they were speaking French. So.
But that was a beautiful thing. And just both of you guys' prayerfulness throughout this and the trust and the surrender, you know, is.
Yeah.
I mean, God forbid anyone ever has to go through this. But if they do, the way that you guys are handling it is about as good as I can imagine anyone handling it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just abandoning yourself to God, you know?
It's
hard to do.
Yeah.
But sometimes he allows you to experience this struggle and the understanding that you're not abandoning yourself completely, that you're holding on to something. And so you're put in a juxtaposition of exercising faith or fear. She's done a really good job with that. And like, honestly, like just talking with her and everything she's going through, the fact that she's concerned about other people and praying for other people and priests and like, I mean, like just that alone for me is just like she's not sitting in this and taking on a lot of things that are causing her pain and suffering. She's taking on a lot of things that are increasing her faith, that are showing new revelations of who God is in her life and her journey. And it's been beautiful to watch. And, you know, I wouldn't want to go back and do it all over again, but, you know, it's you know, he sows a lot of goodness in suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. And you know, recently I was able to and I have to put a shout out for this movie, and then it's not a theological treatise in any way, but you know, Ryan and I watched The Shack a couple weeks ago, and I have to say, you guys, I was so moved by how God pursues you in suffering, and I can't talk about it enough because I don't think people always see that. I see that we tend to run away from suffering. It's a very normal thing. But it's in that suffering, I think, guys, that we really are with God on the cross. And I think and that's what I love about just being Catholic and understanding that our understanding of suffering can be shown to us by a loving God who cares about us and who was willing to suffer for us too. Yeah. And I just think that's such a comfort and such a beautiful analogy into our own lives, that when God calls you into suffering like that, and this can be anything, this could be your children, this could be your spouse, this could be your parents, like whatever, you know, and just how much we have to forgive and we have to move on. And then as the suffering comes, we just kind of have to kind of head it straight on, but with asking for God's help, that you don't have to do it by yourself.
Right? You know, what you guys are just talking about, it made me think of a line from The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien.
Yes.
And it's Frodo, he's like, I wish it need not have happened in my time. And Gandalf says, so do I. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to do to decide is to do with what time that is given to us.
Mm. Yeah, Jen and Ryan, I mean, everything that you guys are saying, especially how the surrender novena has hit you so much, it's just this quote that I use on Divine Mercy Sunday and kind of preach from it. It keeps coming up in my mind as you guys are talking, so I'll read out part of it here. It says, this is from St. Faustina's diary, number 1578. The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, and that is trust. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. Souls that trust boundlessly are a great comfort to me, because I pour all the treasures of my graces into them. I rejoice that they ask for much, because it is my desire to give much, very much. On the other hand, I am sad when souls ask for little, when they narrow their hearts. And I just can't help but thinking of you guys during this whole thing, and your main word that keeps coming up is trust, trust, trust. That and surrender, you know, they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it as like we have this, he's using this image of like a well, right? And we have the bucket that we're going to draw from the well of his grace. And it's like the bucket is your trust, right? So the bigger that your trust is, the bigger that bucket is. It's just like the more you get to receive from God. So, I mean, what you guys are describing is like a whole different way of looking at suffering is like No, this is just right now. This happens to be my vehicle or my avenue to receive more of God's grace. And I'm going to do that by trusting more. You know, I think you can apply that to literally any situation that we're in.
Yeah.
Especially the hard stuff, though, where it's harder to trust. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to open the bucket as wide as I can and trust you completely that you have my back. Even if it seems horrible right now, I know you got my back.
Well, oftentimes what I think is when we project too far in the future, so we think, oh my gosh, you know, like what if they die, or like what if I did die? But we're all gonna die. Like that's kind of a silly projection, because I guess on the other hand of that is when we trust God and we're saying the outcome might not be the outcome we think we want. Right, we think we know what the outcome is that we want. We want healing. We want renewal. We want to live. Well, and if that doesn't happen, that doesn't mean He's not holding us. He's not still giving us what we need or want. That's just the best path. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, I find a lot of comfort in the fact that I don't know that God, you know, continues to bring things into my life and probably, you know, everyone's life that ultimately is their journey to Him.
Yeah, and the thing that I was thinking about when you read that is humility. And the catechism, it says humility is the foundation of prayer. Mm. And so humility is basically been brought upon us because of our understanding of what our life is and God. And you kind of get in this sort of lane where you're on cruise control. And then something like this happens, and then you're humbled. And it's not that you're being humbled by God and, in her case, being spanked. It's just that I think He just shows you that this life is just not everything. It's a place for us to get to know God, to love God, to serve God, and help others to get to know Him. But ultimately, it's just such a very small part of what our lives are in Him. It's not something to be possessed, owned. Your perspective of what it should be a lot of times is shattered when things like this happen. And very grateful that we have faith to be able to exercise, to be able to experience these graces.
Mm-hmm. Saint Teresa always would say, the world is thy ship, not thy home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that I've experienced this in watching her. And again, like the graces that she's experiencing are far greater than what I'm experiencing. And I'm witnessing her transformation in this case. And, you know, you look at it, you're like, she's got cancer and stage 4 cancer. How is she being transformed? It's like, I don't know. It's just, it's all grace. Like, it's just like, it's just happening. It's happening, you know? And we're grateful for it, you know? But yeah, just, I guess the big lesson I have was that a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in what life should be, what life is. We exert our wills into, trying to, again, manifest like a certain destiny that we have, that we feel like is a part of our lives. It's important. And then we realize in times like this that what's really important is that we have this God that will heal our broken hearts, will get us through anything. And in doing that, we will grow closer to Him. It's really bringing out the crucifix, the cross. It's really bringing out suffering in a way that you don't expect. And so, like, I think a lot of people watching are dealing, I mean, I know they're all dealing with something in their life, you know, and wanting to hold on to it or not let go of it, not give it to God. And then when you read that, it's just like, do we trust Him in this situation? Mm-hmm. Do you trust Him? Do you trust that He has your best interest at mind, those who you care about? Do you sense that He can take care of anything and that you can walk through this with Him and grow in love and grow in an understanding of who He really is? Mm. Because it's almost like He's like, I'm God. And then it's like, this happens. He's like, I'm still God, you know? Yeah. Like, and you're like, okay, well, this is a new part of my journey and her journey where you're starting to realize that God is a lot bigger than what we thought. Mm-hmm. You know?
You know, Jen, you said something earlier that a lot of people get hung up on the cross, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus got hung up on the cross, so we didn't have to.
Mm.
The Romans would line the road with crucified insurgents or criminals or rebels or, you know, conquered people. Hundreds of thousands of people were being crucified by the Romans. But we remember the one who came off the cross and was resurrected, mm-hmm. not because of the cross, but because he rose from the dead after the cross. You know, all the people that were crucified by the Romans, they're lost to history. But the one who rose, the one who went beyond the cross, is the one that has changed fundamentally the reality of all humans for all times. And that stood out to me that, you know, the cross is an image of suffering and of our Lord's passion, but its meaning is given by the resurrection. And to have that kind of hope that after the cross is the resurrection, I think is the proper orientation to even viewing
the crucifix. And then I think another thing that stuck out for me on our pilgrimage to Spain and France was one of our pilgrims went walking with Father Pagano, and we sat down, and I was like, they did some hike or something we didn't do.
Well, that was like, that means so scary. Me and you were like, dude, that's, I don't like the heights. Me and Ryan were terrified of the heights.
You fall over this thing, it's terrifying.
We're in Montserrat. Yeah. And Montserrat is like this giant mountain with these like sheer cliffs. And I'm like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. And so this one lady, I guess, sinned in a particular way that she's holding on to it. And she's feeling guilt. And, you know, she's sorry and, you know, but she's holding on to this sin and the suffering that she's inducing upon herself by holding on to it. And she saw Christ and he was bloody and he had his crown on and he's looking at her in her eyes. And I was like, well, what was communicated? Like, this is like, I mean, did you see something in his eyes? And she said, and it was almost like he was looking at her like, I did all this for you. Like, will you just let me, you know,
let me love you?
Let me just take care of this for you, you know? And like that moment, it was just like, wow. Mm. Like, you know, he's done so much just in the sacrifice of the cross that he, you know, did for us. Like that is literally the focal point of why all of us are able to exist in the world. And become free from our sins. And, you know, so it's just like letting his sacrifice too, letting his sacrifice be the thing that drives us, you know, and turning it over to him and saying, you've done this for me. I don't need to do this for myself. Mm-hmm. I don't need to free myself from the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you can't,
yeah.
You know, I just thought that was beautiful because I needed to hear that too.
Sure.
You know, well, it's kind of God's way of speaking to me too as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm really inspired by both of you, and I know everyone's praying for all of you.
Yeah.
You have so much prayer support. You have so much, you know, tangible support from the people in the community and around, you know, and friends and everything like that. You know, what, you know, I know you guys got the next scan coming up.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've recently moved down here to Florida. You know, you got your mom coming back. You know, kids are happy in the new schools and everything like that. And it does. It seems like that you guys have settled into this as a new normal in a really –
yeah,
you know, really kind of Delacrosse way where it's like, hey, cool, this is how we live now.
Fine. Yeah, you know? It's like, God, okay, you know, like, what else you got for us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why don't we close with this then? Why don't we talk a little bit more about that Surrender Novena? Because I know that that's been so powerful for you. And I had that pulled up that, so the Novena, there's the 9 days of prayer, and each day there's a different little, you know, reflection or prayer. But what you say at the end is, oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. You say it 10 times?
Amen.
Yeah.
What else can you do? You know, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything.
Yeah.
Because you can't save yourself. No one can get to heaven by themselves.
No.
You're not going to heal yourself.
No.
You're, you know, no one gets out of life alive.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at the statistics, Jen. Every one out of one person's ultimately
where
dies.
Did you find that?
I think it was on the
shocking.
CDC.
You know? Shocking.
So,
yeah, you know, in our sponsor, Hallow, big shout out to them. If you want to try it for free, I highly suggest that this Surrender Novena is in there.
Mm-hmm.
At CatholicTalkShow.com/Hallow. We did the 40-day Lent journey, and
I was like, oh my gosh, the whole Lenten journey was built, literally built around all the things that we have been praying, you know, since July, right? And it's just like God speaking to us through this app, like, but it was also through Walter Chizik's story.
Amazing.
And even in all of his holiness, he found himself in places where he had to continually surrender to God's will. Because he had a perspective of what his priesthood was going to be. He had a perspective of his life. And he was brought into, you know, horrible circumstances that this experience of surrendering to these circumstances and understanding that God is present in it had something that changed his life. And now it's changing other people's lives because it was granted, it was given to us in Hallow. And this guy was locked up for 21 years. Imagine being locked up for 21 years. You know, you think your life's over. Well, no, the seeds of his faith and the surrender that he's had, he's now sharing with the world. And it's blessed so many people, including ourselves, you know.
And even when he was in prison, it's like, you wonder, how am I living out my priesthood? There's just nothing that's lost on God, no amount of suffering or whatever. Like, even if you're having to stay home, like you mentioned, because it's raining outside and you can't have the thing, the device getting wet. It's like, okay, even this, like, nothing's wasted here. I can offer everything and join it to the cross.
He's in every moment.
Well, even with this device, my doctor told me that there are people who choose not to wear it. You know, there are people who just say no. Like, they don't want to be bald. They don't want to be inconvenienced. I mean, and you know, something we can all do, but I'm fighting this. I'm like, oh no, I'm grateful for every day. Like, one thing is I just open my eyes and I'm like, I live today where my tumor could be removed. There's medical, you know, drugs I can take, different medications I can take that help me.
Prayer.
And then, like, obviously the prayerful side of it is, I mean, God could heal me tonight if he wanted to, you know? I mean, he could heal me. When I got back from Lourdes, I mean, if any of you know anything about glioblastoma, it's very aggressive. It can grow back in different ways. I mean, there are people who've had 2, 3, 4 craniotomies to remove masses.
And it's incurable.
And it's incurable, yes. So, and so it's one of those things that, you know, it kind of, you know, hangs over you in a way, because it's not like it can just be treated and you're done. No, it doesn't work that way. So in that respect, it's interesting to me to, you know, like every time you go get a scan, and I know some other cancer patients who've, you know, it's kind of scary because you're kind of like, is it going to go somewhere else? Is it going to metastasize? Is it going to, you know? So the nice thing about it is it doesn't tend to move to other parts of the body. It does stay in just your brain. But if I get another growth and it's in an inoperable place, well then, you know, and that's, you know, those are some of my, you know, I've joined some support groups, and I cannot say enough of just joining groups that help support you, faithful groups, medical groups, you know, whatever, to have friends along the way, you know, and then also to share. You know, I am lucky that, you know, my husband is just so supportive and really allows me just to have my days, you know, and sometimes I do sit outside, and sometimes I just, I'm kind of, I might have a sad moment, and my moment of sadness is really kind of a projection of something I might miss, you know, like, as my kids are young, so there might come a time where I might miss something, and I just kind of get a little bit sad about it. And I mean, I think it's just human to kind of maybe project a little bit. But on the other hand, I sit in just gratitude, and I'm like, wow, God, you know, I am so grateful that I woke up today and I'm here still, and I get to spend a couple, whatever amount of time he continues to give me. And, you know, in my work with some hospice patients, you know, I've had a lot of time to think about it. I think when you have an opportunity to reflect on dying a little bit, it does give you a new perspective. It gives you, you know, and I think if anything, it's just being grateful, like grateful that you wake up. Like, I have a little gratitude journal. I'm grateful for hot showers. I'm grateful for coffee. I'm grateful, you know, sometimes it's kind of silly. Obviously, I'm grateful for my family and my kids and my siblings and my parents. But I think about all these things that in just waking up another day. And the thing is, there's no guarantee. I mean, I could die in a car accident tomorrow. So it's not even that cancer might, you know, do me in. It could be anything. So I think that new perspective, and that's been my newest thing, is is don't put things off. If there's something on your heart, if there's something you really want to do or change, do it. You know, like, why wait? You know, like, I think sometimes we think we have all this time in the world to, mm-hmm. to do things mm-hmm. and make changes and not necessarily. Right.
Well, thanks for coming on the show and not talking trash about me. All of our
listeners. I fully expected some trash talk on here. I was waiting for it.
That's next episode.
It's next episode.
What can people do for y'all?
I would just say continue to pray for us and pray for our kids. And really, that is the gift that keeps giving. Yeah. And it's just really so kind and beautiful that time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just continue to pray for Ryan, Jen, all their kids, and also for, you know, people out throughout the world who maybe yeah. don't have mm-hmm. an audience to hear. Support. There's probably people out yeah. there suffering through something like this alone.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Amen. That kind of communal prayer for those people in suffering and is really important, you know. But, I mean, it's so good to see you guys both, and Jen, seeing you how great you look and healthy and happy, you know, it's... It's really inspiring and, you know, to many, many more years.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Father, do you want to close us out in a prayer here?
Yeah, and just want to use it as like a brief teaching moment, too, whenever we're praying for healing. You know, I pray with people for healing a lot, and I see a lot of miracles happen. And one of the best insights that was shared with me whenever we're praying for healing is that we want to have, from our point of view, that simple childlike faith that 100% of the time, it's always God's will to heal us, 100%. And it's just the when and the how is the question. Like, will it be right now, miraculous healing at this table while we pray? I hope. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Will it be over time and through medicine, or will it be at the resurrection of your body? Mm-hmm. That's where the Lord knows what he's doing. But you can say, I mean, what's our ultimate destiny is to be in heaven with the Lord, and there's no cancer there. So you can say, like, 100% guarantee it's God's will to heal you.
Yeah.
You know? Amen. So we want to do that component. We want to pray for full healing. And at the same time, while we're waiting for that, Lord, we want to offer all the suffering and the inconvenience and the this and then that. Mm-hmm. We want to offer all that on your cross too. You know, so like being Catholic, we're both and. It's like I don't have to do either or. I don't have to just offer it up and assume that that's holier, or I don't have to just pray with that kind of bold faith, like, Lord, we want a miracle. We can
do both.
And it's like that vessel of trust just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we praise you and we thank you in all times and all circumstances. And we thank you especially for Jen and Ryan, for their incredible faith, this bold witness of trust in you. We thank you for each of their children, and we thank you for all the people that have poured out love and support for them. We ask for a full and complete healing for Jen. We ask that you open the floodgates of heaven over her, and that you heal her completely and totally, that she may be a testimony of your power to heal. And at the same time, Lord, we join all of the suffering and everything that goes with this journey with cancer. We join all of this to your sacred cross, that our bodies may be a living offering, a living sacrifice of praise. We ask the intercession of all the angels and saints. And we pray all this, Lord Jesus, in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Father.
Mac, that was beautiful. That's such a good point. That God always wants our healing. It's just time and when.
Yeah.
It might be the resurrection. I like that. My glorified body is going to be so good.
No brain tumors in the glorified body.
No tumor. Well, you know, we were talking about cremation one day, and I think someone was like, I go, you think God can't find all your cells and put them back together? I'm like, come on, guys. It's not that big a deal.
It's not that big a deal.
We're dividing Grandpa up. We're putting him in two different places. Will God be able to put him back together?
God will figure it out.
It's so funny.
A bunch of Humpty Dumpties out there.
Well, boys, thank you so much. Thanks for letting me be on there. That's great. I mean, I really am moved by how many people from the show are really sweet and praying
for
me. It's
been great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tune in next week. Thank you for watching. And really, continue praying for Jen and Ryan and all the Delacrosses. They really means a lot to them, and it's one of the great things of having this form this community is the prayers. And, you know, we're praying for you and that you're praying for us here. I think it's a powerful thing and one of the greatest things that comes out of this. So we really appreciate your support, and we'll see you next week.